Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
Welcome to the show. It is Overtime. I'm Tom Ackerman. Charlie Brennan is in the house.
Hey, Amy, good morning, Tom.
How are you, Amy? Mark Scores.
Hey, good morning.
Mark Reardon is with us as well. What a team
good
we have going
morning,
on.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a good Tuesday. Hope everyone's having a nice day. Nice sunny morning, and we're going to have a nice mild day today, so that's good. Better than the weather they're dealing with in the Northeast. My goodness. Let's get started with something locally. Everyone, a state board will talk today about sending $15 million to St. Louis to help build an MLS stadium, Major League Soccer. The tax credits are being requested from the Missouri Development Finance Board. Much of the soccer footprint, as you may know by now, will go where highway on and off ramps are now. A vote by the board could come later this month. The application, Charlie, notes that the project, quote, will be an amenity to help attract businesses and employees to the city and state. Should they approve these tax credits?
Well, I feel the same way I felt when Joe Edwards, who I admire quite a bit, was looking for federal tax dollars for the Loop Trolley. And I'm not equating MLS with the Loop Trolley. I think the MLS will be really popular here. And I love the folks at Enterprise and the Cavanaughs and all you soccer fans out there. But I'm a cheapskate, and I don't think the state has the money for that. It's $50 million this year, $50 million next year. That's $30 million. If you read a column last week by Kurt Erickson and Jesse Bogan of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you see that the state's $20 million short when it comes to funding programs for developmentally disabled kids. So these are kids and some adults who, you know, need diapers as adults. They wear helmets because they hurt themselves. They can't speak. They need care, and they don't have it. The state doesn't have the money. And when you give a tax credit, you're taking a dollar away from money that could be used for a program like that. So I love the project, but I like self-financing.
Amy.
Yes, I have to echo Charlie's sentiment because I think the project is great and it will be a boon for the area, having a major league team and a major league stadium. Just when we're looking at the issues that this city is dealing with, whether it is the crime and trying to organize and get the money to deal with the crime issue in the city, or we're looking at Charlie mentioned, the schools or the programs for needy kids, we can never quite find the money for that, and yet we're able to give tax credits or find monies for sporting events. Sports have an unusual priority when it comes to taxes, when it comes to financing. So should this be the priority for the tax credits? I'm not sure. If you can self-finance and focus on the city's more critical issues right now.
Should they approve the tax credits, Mark Reardon?
Well, I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with the city's critical issues because the state is certainly involved peripherally. But look, education money goes up every year. We hear that there's not enough money because the money isn't used wisely. When I approach tax dollars, I kind of look at it from, are we getting bang for our buck? And I think in this particular case, especially because of the generosity of the ownership group, I think it's a minimal, you know, investment. It was funny because when this topic came up, it was emailed to me this morning. I did a little Google search and I started reading about the tax situation and the $80 million that the city of St. Louis would be asked for too. But that was a story from 2016. So to put this into perspective, you know, we did this, or we didn't do it. The ownership group and MLS and the city and the county really came together on this to achieve it. And I don't think this is any time to stop the process considering the small amount of investment. The state has plenty of money, okay? The state's not broke. The state balances its budget every year. The state sometimes needs to use its money more wisely. I think this is okay, actually.
I don't think $30 million is a small amount of money, but I guess we'll differ on that.
Let me turn this one back to you, Mark. For the first time in almost 10 years, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments around a gun control case yesterday. The case is over a challenge to a New York City law that prevented people from taking their handgun outside city limits. That law was repealed, however, but its merits were argued before the high court. Should the Supreme Court rule on a law that is no longer in effect?
Quickly, just as I rebut here, like they do in the presidential debates, the budget for the state of Missouri is $25 billion. Now, a lot of that goes into to Medicaid and health care costs, but $15 million, actually $30 million over 2 years is what they're asking for. I still think drop in the bucket. I don't think the Supreme Court, you know, this is an interesting case. They haven't ruled on guns since the Heller case, which was a big decision. And my understanding on this particular case is that the Supreme Court might still punt on this one, even though they agreed to hear the oral arguments. They're not necessarily going to decide on this particular case. So I don't know where this leaves us moving forward. But let's keep in mind, a Supreme Court decision next year on this particular topic will come right in the middle of a presidential campaign.
Right. And this particular instance allows the Supreme Court to really buttress the Heller decision, because ever since the Heller decision was made, which established gun rights as an individual's right to possess a gun, anti-gun advocates or anti-Second Amendment advocates have kind of chipped away and tried to hollow out the substance of the Heller Amendment. For instance, in New York, you can own a gun, but they're passing laws so that you cannot carry your gun from your house, say, to the gun range. So in New York, they've decided, well, you can own a gun in your house because the purpose of owning a gun is self-defense. If you want to shoot at a gun range, you can rent a gun there. Or if you want to bring your gun from one home to another home, you can own a second gun in your second home. So they're really limiting a person's ability to own a gun and move around with that gun, with the assumption that the police then could find someone on the street with a gun. So that's the
well, hang on a second,
particular case.
If you want to regulate the firearms, that doesn't mean you're anti-Second Amendment.
No.
Because the Second Amendment allows for the regulation of a militia, right? So Here's the deal here. In New York, you get a premises license as opposed to the
right.
concealed carry, the other license which you could possibly get. And in that case, I mean, it sounds kind of strange to a Missourian, I know, but you weren't allowed to carry the firearm, which had a premises license for your home, a handgun, to your second home or to and to firing ranges outside of the seven that were allowed in New York. And right now, the New York dropped the law earlier this year, you know, because they didn't want to fight this at the Supreme Court level. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what these justices do, because Thomas didn't say a word yesterday. Neither did Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh said nothing. And if they rule against New York, then that's going to shoot down a lot of these lower court rulings, which have allowed cities and towns to chip away right. at gun rights.
Right. And that's why it's not necessarily, and maybe anti-Second Amendment, anti-gun rights, it was too broad of a brushstroke, because I probably fall somewhere in the middle. I'm not against regulation, but the Heller Amendment is consistently being chipped away at. And at some point, the Supreme Court is going to have to delve into it again.
Mark, you want a final word on this before the break?
No, not really. I just think that there was uncertainty on the court yesterday because this law, I mean, Justice Sotomayor and others are like, look, this has been decided because the other side threw in the towel and you're asking us to rule on a law that's not on the books anymore. So I'm not sure that there's going to be a big decision in this one.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
You don't even know.
Fits in the Tantrums. That was a good time last night. Our Entercom St. Louis holiday party was at 360, one of the best rooftop bars you'll find anywhere. I'll tell you what, New York, they'd be envious of that place. That is a heck of a venue.
That is a great space, and beautiful view of the skyline, the setting sun last night. This is Robert O'Loughlin's little baby up there on the top of the Hilton in downtown St. Louis at what, Market and Broadway?
How about Entercom? I mean, that's a holiday party. Like, while you're getting your first drink, we're going to put Fits in the Tantrums out there for a little show for you. National touring act, no big deal.
Very nice.
Pretty awesome. Really good time. I know Mark Reardon's a big fan. So am I. Have been for
huge
a long
fan.
Time.
Was at an epic show at the Duck Room the first time they ever came through town. And those people who were at that show, the 300 people, will certainly remember it because it was one of those legendary special shows.
Now, I've been listening to them, I want to say, since like 2011, but that's the first time I have seen them in person. And I'm really impressed by them. They've been
great.
Hey, Tom,
remember when we had something called, what was that thing called? That music festival every year.
Lou Fest.
That's the thing. Lou Fest. They'd perform there.
Yeah, I know, but there are multiple stages there at Lou Fest, and I was watching other things.
No, I'm not joking about you. I'm more commenting on the Lou Fest episode. Sad about. Yeah.
You know, I'm bummed about it too, actually.
The first year of Lou Fest, the first year that it went from Tiny Lou Fest to owned by Lollapalooza, unbelievable lineup. The Killers, The National, Wilco. All day long, I was running from stage to stage, and I couldn't believe that we had that in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was really great. Chris Stapleton. Oh, The Killers, not to get off topic, but The Killers did one of the coolest things I've ever seen at a concert.
Yeah.
They took forever to come out, and then they came out, they played their best song first as their opener, Mr. Brightside. It was an amazing moment, actually.
And you forget how many number one hits The Killers have. Yeah. Every time they play a song, you think, oh, yeah, this is their big hit.
Absolutely. That was a good night. Forest Park, man.
You know, the band last night was brought in by one of our sister stations on the FM dial. And they do this for a lot of their contest winners. They'll bring in the bands, and they'll sometimes even perform in the front lobby room here. And in the early days of this little project, they brought in a relatively unknown guy by the name of Ed Sheeran.
No, they didn't.
And he performed for the contest winners right down the hall.
I was there.
Really?
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, that was in the basement of the Duck Room. I went by myself, which maybe was weird because he was sort of this teenage sensation at the time. But I knew he was on my radar. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna go see this guy. Had a conversation with him afterwards, and yeah, I mean, talk about reaching superstardom after that. It was a pretty cool event.
I worked at a station called WNTN in Newton, Mass, in 1982, and at our Christmas party, we had a woman out of Detroit who had one hit. It was called Holiday, and I didn't even go because I had to get up early, like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I missed Madonna's little concert.
Wow. No, you didn't. Oh, my goodness. Who's going to be the next big star to play down the hall?
I don't know.
Last night's band.
They know they're they're already pretty big. But they know their stuff over there, that's for sure. We have a lot of smart music people in our building. No question about it. This fall, President Trump signed an executive order that for the first time gives states and cities the authority to veto refugee resettlements. But in Utah, the governor, a Republican who aligns with Trump on most issues, wrote the president a letter in late October. He didn't want to keep refugees out, didn't want to reduce their numbers. He wanted Trump to send more. Governor Gary Herbert wrote that immigrants have become productive employees and responsible citizens. Charlie says they've been an asset in Utah, not a liability. Are you surprised by these comments?
Yeah, I am, because you wouldn't ordinarily think about almost all white Utah being, you know, opening its arms for people from East Africa, Somalia, Syria, whatever. But you know what? The folks in Utah, they understand that refugees and immigrants are good for the economy and the labor is needed. And I think that's true here in St. Louis as well.
And I believe the governor brought up the fact that Utah was a refuge for Mormons who were not necessarily welcomed at the time when they were building that state, and how the state benefits from having refugees. And I applaud the governor for respectfully speaking up against Trump, because you are, you know, taking your career in your own hands to a point when you're in the Republican Party and you counter something that Trump has to say. Usually that should be a healthy thing for the party. That's not necessarily how the president operates, but absolutely more refugees are great for communities.
Mark, surprised?
Well, you know, these are all state issues, and it is dangerous politically to take a stand against Trump. But this immigration issue in particular is extremely nuanced, and we don't have the sense of it here in the middle of the country that Gary Herbert does in Utah and California and some of these other states. So he knows his state, and I appreciate his perspective for sure.
You know, since Trump came out with that executive order, not one city, town, or state has opted to say no to refugees.
We'll be back. It's Mark Reardon, Amy Mark Scores, and Charlie Brennan on Overtime.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overtime. It's 8:54 with Charlie Brennan, Amy Mark Scores, Mark Reardon. I'm Tom Ackerman. The richest person in the world is Jeff Bezos. And he announced last week that he's donated $98 million to 32 organizations in 23 states that are helping homeless families. The gifts to each organization received range from $1.25 million to $5 million. The Amazon founder and CEO gave the money through his Bezos Day One Fund. He announced in September in 2018 that launch, Amy, he pledged $2 billion to the fund. Think this donation will make a dent in the homeless problem?
Well, I hope so. If it doesn't, then there is some ineptitude in dealing with the funds. It's interesting that when you look at how much money he donated, I wonder if you would, you know, would it be more effective to focus on one city or two cities or four cities at a time and really try to clean up the homeless issue in that city versus spreading it out? I don't know what's better when it comes to donating to the different community organizations, but if each very, very wealthy person kind of took care of their own community, maybe that would work better.
You know, when you buy something from Amazon, at least in Missouri, you do pay the 4.225% sales tax for the state. But unlike the brick-and-mortar retailer, you don't pay the local taxes. And maybe if some of those Amazon purchases were taxed locally, we could also put another dent in the homeless problem.
Putting a little heat on them. I got you. Mark, what about you?
Well, I was unaware that Charlie was such a big fan of tax increases. I am not. I think that I'm going to take it from a different perspective. Let's say Elizabeth Warren gets elected or somebody else, and they want to slap a wealth tax on Jeff Bezos and others. Look, he should have the right to decide what he does with his billions and what would happen to these organizations if something like a wealth tax gets instituted, because you have, look, we see examples of this in our own community. The way that rich people are demonized constantly in the media is ridiculous. If these people didn't give to their community, and by the way, I'm sure Jeff Bezos and others give plenty to their own communities, and they pick, you know, different cities. They do great things and help so many philanthropic entities. Without them, we'd be in big trouble. Government cannot do it all. And by the way, the other thing I think here would be, can money really solve a homeless problem?
That's a fair question. What do we have coming up, Charlie and Amy?
Well, What's On Tap brought to you by the Penn Mutual Life Insurance Company. The saga of your friendly neighborhood cable provider continues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.